you're having a good time of worship this morning, say praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Yes, amen. We have got to figure out a way to get you guys here every Sunday. Let me just ask one question. Would donuts do it? I mean, really, we'll bring donuts if that will do it. Come on, somebody speak to the powers that be here. Nah, it's a blessing. We would do it. It's a blessing to have you with us and share Resurrection Sunday. This is an interesting time of year. We get occasional calls here at the church from people wanting to know certain things. So, morning, Church of the Canyons. Good morning. Are you planning anything special for Easter? Yeah, we are, actually. We'll have a Good Friday service, and we'll be having three services on Resurrection Sunday. Mm-hmm. 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 But are you planning anything special? I'm not sure I'm following. What do you mean? Well, like, is there going to be, like, a special appearance by the Easter Bunny or anything? Is he going to have an Easter egg hunt for kids? Anything of that nature? So I just want to, once and for all, clear it up. Have it here for you to understand that we did not invite the Easter Bunny. He will not be making a special appearance at our service today, I know. And we actually don't intend to invite the Easter Bunny to any of our services in the future. And here's the reason why. That is one of our children. That's little Jimmy Cosley. And Jimmy was so traumatized by the Easter Bunny that I'm already preparing to console him as he moves into his teens, and I'm figuring it's going to take a lot of work to pull him out of that problem. But actually, that's not the reason why we didn't invite the Easter Bunny. The reason for that is because we're here to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And the whole idea that we have here is that we're going to talk and sing and rejoice in the finished work of Jesus and what he's done on our behalf. And without that, I was talking with somebody after the second service, and he said, that was a good message. And I said, well, thank you. I appreciate you saying that. It's a good message, but I want you to understand it's the only message. Because the gospel is all we got. Without the gospel, we might as well just put a for sale sign out there, because nothing else matters. So today, that's what I want to talk about. I want to talk about why his story is our hope, why the gospel is all that we have here. As I was preparing for my message today, I was just thinking that there's a lot of people out there who know a little bit about Jesus. But what they don't really know is the totality of the story, what this morning I am calling the rest of the story. Those of you who are a little bit in the older range, you'll remember there was a national syndicated radio program by that name, The Rest of the Story. And Paul Harvey was the man who did that. And he was all the way through the 70s, 80s, 90s, and even into the first years of this century. And I used to really just enjoy listening to that, because in that story, what he would do is he would begin the broadcast by sharing little-known or maybe forgotten facts about a person's life, but he would just kind of leave out a key element, and that key element was the name of the person. And he would hold that out until the very end, and then he would tell us who he was speaking about, and it would elicit in me just I never knew that about that person. And invariably, he would end the broadcast by saying, and now you know the rest of the story. That's how he would do that. If I were to walk up to most any person in Santa Clarita and ask them if they had ever heard of a man by the name of Jesus Christ, most of them would at least recognize the name. Maybe they would think of him as a man from very, very long time ago that they'd heard about once in a Sunday school class, or a prophet, maybe a great prophet who said great things and taught people to live good lives. And similarly, as I would go around from place to place in our city, I see many people, and they wear jewelry and shirts or even tattoos in the shape of a cross. And my guess is that there would be at least some association of how that cross somehow had something to do with Jesus Christ. But most likely, they would not know the answers to two very important questions. And those are the two questions I want to talk about this morning. I'd like to give the answers to two and only two questions this morning. Number one, why did Jesus have to die on a cross for us? And secondly, why was Jesus raised from the dead? I don't think very many out there would be able to answer that question. But the answer to those questions for Christians really is the rest of the story. The rest of the story is what gives us hope, is the reason that we call ourselves Christians, which simply means Christ followers. It truly is our only hope. And so this morning I want to ask and answer those two questions in our time together, and with the hope that as you leave here today, you will have not only clarity as the answers of these questions, but you will understand why it brings hope to your existence. Why it is that Jesus Christ died, and why it was that Jesus Christ was raised again. So let's answer those two questions together. Why did Jesus have to die for us is our first question. The answer actually is a very simple answer, but it is filled with all sorts of wonderful implications. The answer to that really is to restore us to right relationship with God. The Bible says that God made us, He created us, He loves us, and He desires to have relationship with us. But it also says that He is holy and that He is just and that He cannot have relationship with sinners. And so we have a problem. God loves us, but because we're sinners, He's separated from us. And since all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, we have a relationship problem, I guess is the best way to put it, and a consequence problem as well. For the Bible is very clear that the wages of sin, the consequence of our sin, is death. Enter God's Son, Jesus Christ. The Bible says this, it's very beautiful. It says that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him will not perish, but will indeed have eternal life. What we're saying here is that Jesus was born, He lived a sinless life, He went to the cross to pay the price for our sin so that we would be restored to right relationship with God. Let me try and illustrate it. Maybe it will help to make this a little bit clearer. I was rereading Josh McDowell's fine book, Mourn a Carpenter, this week, and he uses a great illustration that I think really, really is helpful. A number of years ago, here in the state of California, there was a young woman, and she was pulled over for speeding, and she received a ticket for her speeding, and it's one of those smaller towns where you go, and you go right to the court, and you pay your fine right there. So she appeared before the judge, and he read the citation, and he said, "Are you guilty or are you not guilty?" And the woman replied, "I'm guilty." And the judge brought down the gavel, and he fined her $100. Now, an amazing thing happened after that. And this is a true story. The judge stood up. He took off his robe. He walked down around the front. He took out his wallet, and he paid the fine. You know why he paid the fine? Because he was her father. See, he loved his daughter, and yet he was a just judge. Do you see the problem? He loved her, but justice had to be done. His daughter had broken the law, and he couldn't simply say to her, "Oh, it's okay, wink, wink, because I love you so much, I forgive you." If he had done that, he wouldn't have been just, and he wouldn't have been righteous. And actually, the truth of the matter is, he wouldn't have been loving either. Amen? This in some small way illustrates the way and what God did for us when He sent His Son, Jesus Christ. Here's what the Bible says. It says, "He made Him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf that we might share the righteousness of God in Him." Truth of the matter is that all the sins of all mankind was poured out on Jesus on the cross. God the Father dealt with our sin problem and his justice problem by sending his Son to the Christ, to the cross, to die for us. Indeed, God puts it this way: he demonstrates his love for us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That, my friends, is the rest of the story with respect to the cross. When it comes to why Jesus was born and lived among us and died on a cross 2,000 years ago, it was to restore us to right relationship with God. Let's ask and answer one further question. Why was Jesus raised from the dead? This day, Easter Sunday, is the day we who call ourselves Christians gather to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Sometimes we call this Resurrection Sunday. And why is that so important for us? Well, let me answer that. This is the rest of the story. The Bible tells us that Jesus died on the cross on Friday, and he was raised from the dead on Sunday. And the fact of his miraculous resurrection was never in doubt. It wasn't in doubt then, and it is not in doubt now. Witness after witness after witness gave testimony to his appearance, as many as 500 at any one given time. And as would be expected for those who have seen an appearance of a resurrected Savior, we can see that it changed their faith and the lives of those he met. The same disciples who ran away from him when he was taken to the cross were the same disciples who gave their lives for him. Truth be told, of the 11 disciples that he appeared to, 10 of them died martyr's death in their time period. And over the years, thousands have done the same thing. So we need to ask the question, why was the resurrection necessary? Why was Jesus raised from the dead? There are many reasons, but I just want to share three this morning. First of all, without the resurrection, there is no hope, according to Scripture. The whole idea, according to Paul, is that if Christ is not raised, our preaching is in vain and our faith is in vain. In fact, he goes so far as to say, if Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless and you are still in your sins. So without the resurrection, all we have is a good man who died, much like every other good man who ever died has. The resurrection makes all the difference because it finishes or seals the deal with respect to our sin. Secondly, without the resurrection, there's no promise. If you read the Gospels for just a little bit, you see he made a lot of promises. He made a variety of promises. One he made quite often was that he would be delivered into the hands of men, that they would kill him, and that he would be raised from the dead on the third day. And he said this not once, not twice, but many, many times during his public ministry. As a matter of fact, the religious leaders were so concerned about this that that's why they had guards at the tomb, so that no one could spirit away his body and somehow spread a rumor that he'd been raised from the dead. Of the many promises Jesus made in his time on this earth, one of my favorites is this. He said, on the night in which he was betrayed, he said to disciples, he says, it's actually a good thing that I'm going, because I'm going to prepare a place for you, and I will come again and receive you to myself. Jesus sits at the right hand of his Father, making intercession for those who love him, and he has promised to return for us. And all the promises that have been, and all the promises that he is currently fulfilling, and all the promises that he will fulfill when he returns for us, without the resurrection, those promises are empty. They mean absolutely nothing. But I think the most important reason was, without the resurrection, there is no victory over death. It wasn't enough for Jesus to die. He had to defeat the final enemy, which Scripture says is death itself. As a pastor for many years now, I've had way too many, spent too much time at the deathbeds of people I serve and I love. And you don't have to spend very much time and watch a person fight for breath and go through the painful ending that is death to realize that there's something wrong with this world. This is not the way we were created to be. We were created by the God of all eternity to live. And yet, because of sin, all of us die physically. Death is something none of us, short of the rapture, will escape. Here's what's happening in the resurrection. The resurrection is a sort of first fruits, Scripture tells us. It's a reminder and an announcement that the power of death has been conquered. Scripture puts it this way. It says, O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your power? Thanks be to God, who gives us victory through Christ Jesus, who is our Lord. The resurrection of Jesus brings us an assurity that death is not the end. His resurrection is a preview of the resurrection that awaits all of us who have trusted in him. For all those in trust in Jesus as Savior, his story is indeed our hope. Now, as we close, I just want to ask one final question. And that question is simply this. Is Jesus your hope? Yes. That's the question. May I say as humbly but as seriously as I can to you this morning that apart from him, you have no hope. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to Father except through me. The Bible says that we're all sinners. It says that we're all separated from God. It said all have sinned, all have fallen short of the glory of God. But as we have seen today, Christ lived and he died and he was resurrected to restore us to right relationship with the Father. And because of that, you and I have hope. What the Bible calls salvation. Salvation is available to all who believe in him. Now, let's make sure we understand what believe means. Believe simply means this. We must agree with what God says about who we are, about our sinful condition, and repent of our sinful desire to live our lives apart from God. And finally, we must believe in simple faith that Jesus alone is our only hope for heaven. Those are the basics. That's what Scripture says. And the good promise is this. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that he raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for this great truth that Resurrection Sunday brings to us, that the power of death is canceled, that eternity with the Father is promised, and that those who call upon the name of the Lord Jesus will indeed be saved. Lord, may this morning be the morning for some where your Spirit convicts of sin, of righteousness, and justice, where people today will call upon the name of the Lord to be saved and begin their life of new with a hope not only of eternity, but abundant life as we await the soon coming of our Savior. We do thank you for our Savior and his finished work on our behalf. We thank you for the cross. We thank you for his resurrection from the dead. And we thank you in the precious name of Jesus, our Savior and Lord, and God's people said, Amen. Amen.